All right, you guys can have a seat if you can. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it good to be in the presence of God? I couldn't think of anywhere else I'd rather be than in God's presence. And the good thing is, you don't have to come to church to be in God's presence, because He lives in you, right? He's in you, He's with you, He's for you. God has good things in store for us this year, and I'm really excited about what's taking place and looking forward to the future. Let's pray once more before we get into our subject tonight. God, we thank You for the opportunity to hear from You, to hear from heaven tonight. May it not be just about what I've studied or prepared, but may it be about You and Your Spirit as You speak to us in a clear and compelling manner. Father, we just collectively open our hearts to You. Myself as the presenter and them as the hearers, we're all on this journey together, God. And so I thank You that You speak clearly to each of us. Change us all. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about change, and I say we loosely because I haven't been back here, or up here, with you. But you've been talking about catalysts to change, and I've had the opportunity to listen to those via the podcast. So grateful for our team that makes that happen, Grayson. Really awesome. And so I encourage you that if you haven't been able to participate in the past month in January, go back through our website, listen to those podcasts. They've been really, really awesome. And just for way of review here, I want you to help me out since I haven't been here. I mean, I have listened, but I haven't been like involved in the experience here. Just one thing that maybe has stood out to you in the month of January about catalysts to change. One thing. You can just raise your hand, I'll call on you, and you can shout it out. Anybody? Carol?
You need people in your life, your team.
Your team. You got to have people. Excellent, excellent. Yes. And I heard she was making fun of me during that one. So that was good. I'll take it. Who else? Georgette?
It requires a turn.
Requires a turn. Repentance, yes, means to change your mind, right? Repentance is change your mind. It's not just about wallowing at an altar over your sin. It actually means to change your mind, change your mindset. Very good, very good. What else? Say it again. Change is on the inside. Absolutely, absolutely. That's good. Who else? What's spoken to you? Your patterns. That's right. She talked about the process and that the pattern is the deal, right? Instead of trying to change the problem, you need to change the patterns that are in your life because the patterns lead to the problems, right? Oh, good. Well, I can tell you've been paying attention. You've taken some notes. You've gotten some things not just written down, but some things have been written down in your heart. And so that's really awesome. For many of us, when we start to think about change, we immediately begin to name off things that are external, like weight loss, like changing our hairstyle or our appearance, or changing something even like our financial status. That's something external that's tangible, right? We begin to talk about we want to change these things. We've been doing a similar study in the back with the students, and we talk about, hey guys, what is your big resolution? What's the thing you want to do this year? And everybody's like, oh, I want to lose weight, or one person said, I want to get 6-pack abs. Like, yeah, more power to you, man. Another person was like, I'm not going to wash my hair this year. I'm like, that's gross. Don't do that. It was all the majority of it, probably like 99.999% was external things like they wanted to look better or feel better. It was nothing about, change on the inside that we've been talking about. And so we kind of had to help them with their perspective back there. How about let's focus on doing something different, about changing who we are. How about changing who we hang around at school? How about being a positive influence on people? The reason I think that by and large, the most of us, when we talk about change, we talk about resolutions, that we focus on the external is because it truly is something we can see. I mean, we can measure, right? Some of you were taking measurements tonight. You were back there on the scale. You were measuring. Some of you may have been pleased. You may have been disgusted with what you saw. Regardless of where you are, you can take inventory on that, right? You can visibly see what's taking place. And over a month's time, 2 months, 3 months' time, however long it takes, you can see a drastic difference if you stick with it. I know myself, because I lost 50 pounds, weight loss, and all that kind of stuff, and I'm not the same person that I used to be. You can physically see the change. We rarely make resolutions about changing on the inside, don't we? I mean, we want to travel more, we want to do more, maybe we want to, like 1 year I made the resolution, it was the year of my 30th birthday, and I said I want to read 30 books this year. And it was about reading more. And I don't know if it was so much about me changing, but just the fact that I actually wanted to read more, because I'm not, by nature, a person who enjoys reading. Some of you, you're like book nerds, and, you're always got a book, and that's cool, that's fine, more power to you. But I wasn't, and still I'm not, it's like it's almost like a chore to read. Can anybody identify with that? But I wanted to make myself do that, maybe so I could grow, and I had people, give me some books that you've your favorite book. Tell me what that is, and so I made a list of different books. And I have to admit that I failed horribly at that resolution. I wasn't on track at all, man. I think I read maybe 5 books that year. That is impressive. If you know me, that still is impressive. 25 short of 30, though, not very good. But really, how often do we make a resolution about, do we want to be different? We want to do more, we want to travel more, we want to see more, but do we want to be more? I don't know if we truly ever make that resolution. Because most of it's about the external, but we've been talking about, and hopefully we've been unearthing some things, digging up some things on the inside, like maybe some dreams that have died, maybe some things that you haven't thought about for a long time. Maybe it was a resolution like years and years and years ago, but you let it die because, you got to 5 books and that was good enough. Maybe you settled. But maybe this last month we've been kind of stirring up some things and said, well, what about this? What about this thing that I wanted to do? And it was more about an internal change. I think for me, some of the most monumental changes that have taken place in my life are rarely the changes that I set out to make on purpose. Think about that for a second. The changes that have been the most monumental in my life are changes that almost, to me, almost happened by accident. And let me explain this for a second, because I'm not saying that change is accidental and whoops, I changed. It doesn't just happen like that. What I'm saying is I didn't set out on purpose to be different or become different or make a difference in my life. The changes that have been most fruitful in my life have all been instigated by The Voice, not the TV show. Not the show, okay. By The Voice, okay. We're talking about The Voice tonight, a catalyst to change The Voice. Not a particular song, not anything external, but the voice of God. Those changes that have been the most monumental in my life have been brought about because God dealt with me. God spoke to me. Maybe it was in a time of prayer. Maybe it was a time of corporate worship. Maybe it was a time of private worship, where it's not just that I'm on a stage with my guitar, but I'm in my car singing somebody else's song. Maybe it's in those moments where God has spoken to me. Those have been the most monumental changes that have taken place in my life have been brought about by that particular catalyst, the voice of God. The voice of God. And I think those are the changes to me that have marked me in some way. Those are changes that I can remember. I can go back to the place where I heard God speak to me those certain things, and I was forever different. Or it was the beginning of a process of being forever different, but it's been a change that's lasted, not just something that you have to kind of re-up your commitment every year. You know what I'm saying? Those are the changes that were the most monumental for me. I think about a couple of them. One was when I was at Clemson University. Anthony's Clemson man. I was at Clemson University for one semester. I didn't stick it out, Anthony. Sorry, man. And the reason that I didn't stick it out was not because Clemson's a bad school or because I hated Clemson or the Tigers suck or any of that. And you can have your own opinions on that, and that's okay. You know, we can celebrate diversity here. But the reason that I didn't stick it out is because of the voice. Because the voice of God interrupted my life at that moment. You see, before going to college, I didn't do a lot of research. The extent of research that I was doing in looking for a school to go to was like the guy to girl ratio. Seriously, this is what I wanted to look like. Like the schools that I were looking at, like Winthrop University had like an 8-to-1 girl, 8 girls for every 1 guy kind of thing. So I thought, well, I can surely do okay here. That one didn't make the cut because my friends, and I was influenced by my friends because they went to Clemson. I was a Clemson fan. My household was were Clemson fans growing up. And so I said, well, I'll just go to Clemson. So I go to Clemson for a semester, and I really was miserable. And it wasn't necessarily because of the atmosphere. I mean, it played a part. It wasn't necessarily because of my classes or I was failing anything. It wasn't any of those kind of external things. It was because I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And that's really what it boiled down to. I wasn't where God wanted me to be. Now, did God cause me to be miserable? Did he, like, you know, influence my situation and said, okay, here, you know, you're going to run into this problem and that problem there? No, it was just I was not in the position that I needed to be in. And I was miserable. I was miserable on the inside. I remember I was dating this girl at the time, and I thought I was in love, and you know, like the puppy love thing. And we were having some problems. We have had some arguments and stuff. And so I was just sitting in my car one night praying about that situation. And I said, for the first time in my life, I said, God, I want you to speak to me. Like, I opened myself up to the voice of God, really. Before, like in moments of prayer, it was kind of like, God, here's my list, here's what I want. You can read this, right? Take care of it. And then I'm gone. I'm on to the rest of my day. But at this particular moment, I remember because it so marked me, it really did. I said, okay, God, your turn. And I sat there for what seemed like forever. Many of you have heard this story. But I sat there for what seemed like forever, and really it was only a matter of moments before, to me, because I'd never really listened for the voice of God, it was almost like an audible voice to me. And, you know, I shut my eyes and I was like really trying to focus. Like, is this, I'm going to do whatever I can, you know, close my eyes really hard. Gonna, you know, be really quiet, you know, and try to make something happen, you know. But really, all God was waiting on was an invitation. You know, like he's ready to speak to all of us. And the truth is, he's always speaking. But are we listening is the question. So I was in a position where I wanted to listen. And he said to me, the telephone's ringing. And I was like, this is all you got for me. Like, what is this? Some Morse code? I mean, what do I have to figure out? What's going on here? The telephone's ringing. So I start thinking practically and reasoning in my mind, which you're really not supposed to do when you hear from God. You're supposed to hear on the inside and then, you know, let your mind make sense of it as he gives you the revelation, right? Telephone's ringing. I'm like, okay, I'll go to the dorm, and the telephone's ringing, and God, it'll be God. He'll have further instruction from somebody. I don't know. All he can get is like 3 words in. Then he's got to call me on the phone. Telephone's ringing, so I start walking, and then it just hit me like a ton of bricks, and it was this whole idea of God calling me. I've got a position for you. I've got a destiny for you. I'm calling you. And then, you know, it's kind of gotten a bad rap over the years. People are, you know, called into the ministry or whatever. We're all called in some way, shape, or form. And I didn't really understand that at the time. But it marked me that moment, and I said, okay, well, I'm not in the right place for this. And I'd already had these inklings towards doing ministry and helping people. I was serving at my church very faithfully in youth ministry. And so I decided it's time for a change. And it was all brought about by the voice of God. One of the best and most fruitful changes that I've experienced in my life, because I transferred as a result of that from Clemson University to North Greenville, met my wife, have two beautiful kids, the rest is history kind of deal. That's the reason I'm here at this church, all because of the voice of God, all because of the voice, that one catalyst to change. I think about when I did go from Clemson to North Greenville. At the time, I was attending City View First Baptist Church. I was a good Baptist boy, raised in a Pentecostal church, but went to the Baptist church because they had something for youth. And so I was a good Baptist-costal. Kind of blended the two. And I was serving. I enjoyed helping with the teenagers there and imparting into them. But for me, I was kind of drying up. I wasn't getting a lot where I was. And I knew there was more. I knew God had more for me. I knew there was more to the Christian life. I knew there was something I'm missing here. And so I remember, you know, meeting Kristen and hearing about her church and going to visit her church. And for me, like, part of that was, like, she was the catalyst for me changing, because I wanted to go and spend time with her and her church or whatever. Her church is similar to this, to Good News in a lot of ways. But I remember when it came time for me to say, okay, I'm done with City View First Baptist, I'm leaving that. And it was tough for me, because I'm a person who's, I'm a faithful person. I don't want to just leave anybody hanging. And I remember praying about that and just getting the green light from God, the voice of God, saying, make the change. Go to Grace Christian Church, which is where Kristen was going at the time. And I learned so much. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. New revelation about righteousness. Just tremendous change. All because of the voice. All because of the voice of God. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's read some scripture. John chapter 10. This is the precursor to one of our favorite verses around here. John 10:10. The thief doesn't come but to steal, kill, and destroy. Only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. This is the precursor here in John 10, verse 2. A new living, we'll put it on the screen for you. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his, what? Voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. So I think from this scripture, it's imperative that we know the voice of God. It's imperative that we are familiar with the voice of God. That we don't just familiarize ourselves with religion. Don't familiarize ourselves with religious cliches and say, this is how I'm going to be led in my life. No, we have to familiarize ourselves with the voice of God. Well, what does God sound like? Have you ever thought about it? What does God sound like? Have you ever heard the voice of God? I mean, does he have a low booming voice that echoes when he talks?
Matt. Go. Back. Two. School.
I mean, is that how it happened for you? I mean, it'd be crazy, right? What does God sound like? I'll tell you what he sounds like. He sounds a lot like the Bible that you're holding in your hand. I mean, this isn't rocket science. I'm not dropping any new revelation on you. I just want to remind you of some things tonight. He sounds a lot like his word. And if the voice that you're hearing sounds a bit different than the word, it's probably not the voice of God. Let that be the defining line for you. When you ask the question, is this God or not? Well, does it sound like God? It sounds like it could be God. Like, sounds religious enough to be God. But is it Bible? Is it his word? Because God sounds an awful lot like his word. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 in the Amplified. It says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. Don't you want to be conformed to God's will in thought, purpose, and action? Not just thinking about it, not just purposeful, but actually acting as well on the will of God. Verse 17, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everybody say, the voice of God sounds like his word. God's voice and his word are synonymous. They are. God's voice also sounds like his spirit. What does the spirit sound like? Glad you asked. John chapter 16. Jesus told us plainly, he said, however, when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So the Holy Spirit is also a speaking agent for the voice of God. The Holy Spirit will speak to us as well. And a lot of times, like I never knew how to hear from the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Guess what the Holy Spirit sounds like? The word. The Holy Spirit sounds like the word. The Holy Spirit sounds like God. They all work together. They work in tandem. They really do. Like a lot of times when, you know, I'm praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues, like what I'll hear on the inside may just be a word, and I'll utter that word in English, and then it may be you know, a reference to a scripture, not like, okay, John 17. No, like a scripture that I know, you know, it'll come up on the inside, and then you look it out, and then it may be just exact confirmation for what you're going through. And that's how he speaks. So when we talk about change, I believe the greatest change that you'll ever make in your life, and this is kind of a bold statement, the greatest change you'll ever make in your life is the change God is leading you to make at that moment. Because doesn't he know the future? Doesn't he know your present situation? Doesn't he know your past? Doesn't he know you even better than you know you? So the change that he's leading you to make is the greatest change you can possibly make in this moment and season of your life. It's not a change that you just say, well, you know, look at that person over there. Well, man, that house looks great. Maybe we should get a new house this year. Is that the change God's leading you to make? Because if that's not the change God is leading you to make, it could be a huge mistake. But if he's leading you to make that change, guess what? He'll lead you through that change. Is this helping you tonight? He knows your future. He knows the plans he has for you. That sound familiar? That should sound a little bit like the voice of God, because that's his word in Jeremiah 29:11. He knows the equipment you'll need for your future. He knows the provision that you'll need for your future. If you follow his voice, you'll have everything you need at the time you need it, because he's leading you exactly where you need to be. I mean, this is simple, but the problem is, it's simple in concept. Like, okay, I just hear the voice of God. God's voice can lead me to making changes in my life. His voice sounds like his word. His spirit sounds like his word. They all work together in tandem. The problem comes into play when we realize that the voice of God is not the only voice in our lives. Let me say that again. The voice of God is not the only voice in our lives. You see, we have, some of us have friends. Some of us have enemies. Some of us have frenemies. Whatever those are. People around us. You have people that you work for, people you work with, people who work for you. Voices. Everybody say, I hear voices. You do. You do. And this is the warning. Beware of distractions. There are other voices calling out to you. There are other voices vying for your attention. Vying to lead you astray. Vying to lead you away from God's intended destination for you. I think about this when I hear about voices and think about voices. Think about the own voices in my head. No, I think about the mythological creature, the siren. You guys know what I'm talking about? You ever heard of the sirens? In Greek mythology, the siren was a creature whose song lured unsuspecting sailors to their deaths. Okay? You know, you may have heard this in school or whatever. It's a great analogy for what we experience. I mean, because in life, God has a course for us. He's set a course for us. He's leading us on that course. All the time, he can be adjusting course. If we ever get off course, he can help us to get back on course if we have our compass handy, right? A compass of God's word leading us in the direction that we need to go. But guess what? There are sirens out there. And their song sounds so sweet. Oh, so beautiful. Trying to lure you off course. Trying to lure you to your doom. Plenty of voices in our lives. The question is, which one are we going to listen to? Which voices will we hear? Which voices will we heed? Let's determine tonight and for the rest of our lives that we're going to listen to the voice of truth. We're going to allow him to lead us into the greatest changes we'll ever experience. I mean, he desires us to change more than we want to change, doesn't he? He desires things for us even more than we desire them. He knows the good future that he has for us. And he's constantly trying to get our attention. Not through like external things, not through signs, but on the inside, like always tugging at your heart. If you'll just take a moment and open yourself up to him and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? I promise you he'll speak to you every time, every single time. If you'll shut out all the other voices, quiet your mind, get still on the inside and say, God, I'm ready. What is it that you have for me? What is it that you have for me? I think about hearing God's voice. In order to hear God's voice, we have to be familiar with his voice, don't we? Do you remember the days before caller ID? Anybody? Like, you know the days before caller ID. You pick up the phone and like if you knew that person, you talked to them on a regular basis, you didn't have to ask who is this, did you? Like Matt, when you and Terry were dating, you guys didn't have caller ID, did you? She'd call you on the phone, you call her, and you wouldn't say, who is this? Terry who? You don't sound like Terry. No, like you, all you say is like, hey babe, and you know who that person is, right? Because you're familiar with their voice. You know what they sound like, don't you? The other thing is like there are certain voices, talking about like singers, their voice is so unique, you know who they are just by what they sound like. Regardless of whether you've heard any of their music before, I mean like heard their like new music or whatever, like if a new song that they put out, Aaron Neville, if I say that name, like you know what he sounds like. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, you know what he sounds like. I mean you just hear one scream and you're like, okay, yeah, it's Steven Tyler. There are voices that you know because you're familiar with them. How do you get familiar with them? You heard them. You've listened. You've trained yourself to listen to know that voice over and over and over. So to hear his voice, you got to get familiar with his voice. And this is as simple as getting quiet, like I talked about earlier. And then you have to heed. Now the word heed means to pay attention to take notice of, to follow, adhere to, and abide by. To heed the voice of God. So it's not just enough to hear what God's saying to us and say, hey, you need to make this change. This is what I'm leading you into. It's equally as important to heed the voice of God and follow that up with action, isn't it? And sometimes for us, we think, okay, how am I ever going to, like he gives you the 80,000 foot view. How am I ever going to reach that destination? But you don't need to know all the ins and outs of how you're going to get from here to there. You understand what I'm saying? Like, Matt, you don't need to know all the ins and outs of where you're going to be in 5 years, what school you're going to be teaching at, and what the name of your students are going to be. You know, you're ahead of yourself, dude. All you need to know, what's the next step? You know, what school am I going to put my application in for? What classes am I going to take? I mean, all you need to know is the next thing. And with each time you heed the voice of God, there's going to be further instruction. I shudder to think sometimes of like the hypothetical what ifs. What if I never prayed in the parking lot at Clemson University and said, God, speak to me? What if? I mean, where would I be? Is this? And these are the things that can just make your head explode if you start thinking about it and giving too much thought to it. Because I'm like a freak when it comes to like time travel movies and stuff. Sci-fi crazy person here. And so your mind can go all kinds of different directions, like where would I be if I didn't do this? Have you ever thought about just the power of one decision? It'll make your head spin, man. If you follow that rabbit trail. If you just did one thing different. But what I want to talk to you about is like, let's not change just for the sake of changing. Oh, everybody's changing. Everybody's picking the one thing they need to change. And I'm just going to say what the other person in my group said because I don't want to have nothing to say. Let's don't change just for the sake of changing. Let's don't change because our spouse is nudging us to change. Because that's, you know, you're the person next to you could shame you into changing pretty good. It could guilt you into changing pretty good. And you may change for a moment, but it won't last. Because you're doing it in your own effort. And you're doing it based upon a nudge from somebody beside you, not the voice of God. You need to hear for yourself. And your spouse may very well be spot on. But you may very well not be hearing it. You guys know how that works in relationships. We need to familiarize ourselves with the voice of God so much so that when he speaks, we know it immediately. We don't have to ask, was that God? Search this out a little bit and think about it a little bit more and ask about five different people, is that God? I read a tweet today from Clayton King. He said, beware of great distractions disguised as great opportunities. I retweeted that sucker right then. I'm like, I've been thinking about it all day. Beware of great distractions disguised as great opportunities. Do you know why it's so important to hear the voice of God? Because there are opportunities all around us. And if we go by the old religious cliche, well, the whole open door, closed door thing, then what will we do when there are three doors in front of us that God's open? We'll freeze until one of them or two of them close. There's a better way. There's a better way. You can hear the voice of God. You can hear the voice of God. You can heed the voice of God. James 1:22, and then we'll let you discuss with some buddies, your team, as it were. James 1:22 in the New Living, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. So let's purpose not to just hear, because if we just hear and don't heed, then we're fools. Let's purpose to hear and heed, and then we'll be wise. And other people will see how wise we are, and they'll look at us and be like, wow, you are so wise, you're so smart. But you'll know the secret. You realize, no, I'm not that smart, but I know how to hear the voice of God. Right. God always makes us look smarter than we really are, if we're listening and if we're acting on it.